Since 1973, Levy's Outdoor has been crafting fine outdoor and hunting leather products and accessories at their factory in Nova Scotia, Canada. Levy's offers a full line of handcrafted slings and is an official licensee of Remington and Mossy Oak Gamekeepers. Levy's Outdoor also makes tactical products, shotgun bags, range bags, shell holders, and even waterfowl bags that float. For quality hunting and outdoor products, shop levysoutdoor.com.
Hey, welcome to Gun Talk. I'm Tom Gresham, and we're going to be talking about guns. Well, and ammo, and scopes, and shooting, and gun safety, and everything else. And politics, of course, we'll talk about that. If you don't know, well, Gun Talk's been on the air for 25 years, and we just keep talking about guns and shooting, and the sport of shooting, and also, of course, the politics of shooting, and guns, and ownership, and those that truly, really, seriously do want to take your guns away. There was a time, you know, when they would say, oh, no one wants to take your guns away. And you'll still hear them say it now and then. When they're trying to shame you and get you to quit. Quit spreading the truth about what we're trying to do. And they'll say, well, no one wants to take your guns away. And usually what they mean by that now, it's interesting, they've shifted it. What they mean by that now is, well, no one wants to take all your guns away. Well, that's not true either, but they're saying, well, we just want to take some of your guns away now, at this time. We'll come back later for the rest of them. And then so they'll say, well, see, we don't want to take all your guns, just the assault weapons. Really? And what is one of those? Well, I don't know, but I'll know it when I see it. And we'll include as many guns as we can in that mythical category of assault weapon. Anything that's semi-automatic certainly qualifies. Yes, your pistols. And depending on who's riding the reg at the time, your shotguns, your duck hunting shotgun. Yeah, semi-autos, sure. I know. It doesn't make any sense. I get it. But here's the thing. And there's a weird defensive mechanism that we all have. It's a thing that goes on inside our heads, where we look at it and say, well, that doesn't make any sense, so it can't be. You got to be careful with that one. When you say, well, you know, that's just not logical, that doesn't make any sense at all, and then you therefore say, well, then everybody would understand, this is what you're thinking, process goes along. Everybody would understand this makes no sense or this won't accomplish that. So actually nobody can be doing that. So what happens is you hear people say, well, we want to ban semi-automatic guns. And in your mind, you're saying, well, we know that that's not logical. It won't do anything. So therefore, it probably isn't actually true that there are people who really do want to ban and confiscate semi-automatic firearms. And then, because that's the whole deal of, because if they do, this is that defensive thing, because if they do, then that means they're coming after me, and I am a good person, and I know they wouldn't come after me because I'm a good person. That doesn't make any sense. It's very much like when I hear people say, well, I live in a good neighborhood, or even worse, even more amazing, we never lock our doors. Okay, I'm not sure that's a good plan, but what's really going on here? And you run into it when people say, well, I don't know why anybody needs a gun for self-defense. We live in a safe area. And it's funny, I was talking to Ryan this morning, who's a co-host of the show, our TV shows. And he said, you know, he says, something I say, he says, have you ever been to Newtown, Connecticut? I thought, I knew where he was going immediately, because I've been to Newtown many times. He said, Newtown is about as Mayberry as it gets. You would be going through Newtown and thinking, this is the safest place anywhere. Why in the world would anybody want to have a gun for self-defense in Newtown, Connecticut? And then a madman goes into a school and starts killing, murdering little children in Newtown, Connecticut, in Mayberry. Everybody thinks their place is safe until something happens there. And it is this defensive mechanism I'm talking about. The reason behind it is this. And it's why so many people won't acknowledge the efficacy, the usefulness of self-defense firearms. Is because if they do, if they recognize that, if they admit that it's not perfectly safe, then now mentally they have to actually accept and understand and acknowledge and live with the realization that they don't live in a perfectly safe world. That's uncomfortable. They don't want to be uncomfortable. So it's almost exactly the equivalent of putting your fingers in your ears and going, no, 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 I can't hear you. I will pretend it's not there. I will, in my head, just say it's not there. I will say that we are safe and there are no bad people here and we don't have to lock our doors and it's all fine. And that is effective to some extent in making you feel better. It doesn't make you any safer. I would argue it actually makes you less safe because now you're not paying attention. You're not doing anything proactively to make yourself and your family safe. To understand that there are bad people out there, to understand there are people who will go into a school and kill little children is horrifying and upsetting. And a lot of people say, I just don't want to live that way. Well, you know, you do live that way. You live in that world, whether you acknowledge it or not. Your choice is simply to say, I will prepare for it, or I will choose to ignore it and not prepare for it. And there's, you know, for a lot of people, there's not going to be any way to fix that. They're simply never going to say, I will take care of myself. I will take care of my family. They're never going to acknowledge that there are really bad people out there and they have to do something about that. But more and more, that's changing. More and more people are saying, honey, we got to buy a gun. We've never owned a gun before. We have, 5 million first-time gun owners this year, people who bought a gun for the first time in their lives. They looked at it, they analyzed it, and they said, you know, there really are bad people out there. There really are people who, for no logical reason that we can figure out, will go burn down a building. They will drag people out of a store and beat the crap out of them. They will break out the windows of your car and drag you out of your car and beat you up. Or maybe even kill you. Even when you've never had any interaction with them before, and there's no logic to it whatsoever. There just are psychopathic people out there. There are sociopaths out there. There are very mentally disturbed people who are very dangerous out there. And then there are just simply people who are career criminals. I'm looking at a story out of Columbus, Ohio. And this is where I keep telling you, get it out of your head. If you have an image of what you think the bad guy is going to be, you need to get that out of your head because that's going to put you behind the curve when it comes to reaction time. According to Columbus Police, Columbus, Ohio, a Life Care Alliance Meals on Wheels driver. Guy is 75 years old. He's driving Meals on Wheels. He was approached by two teens in an attempted robbery while he was delivering food. One of the teens, a 14-year-old, pulled out a gun, while the other, believed to be 15 years old, entered his car and stole the driver's cell phone and wallet. The driver pulled out his legally owned gun and shot the 14-year-old. The 14-year-old, turns out, has a criminal record for similar crimes. The boy was arrested in August of 2020 for theft of a motor vehicle, a felony, and in July of 2020 for two counts of robbery and kidnapping, both felonies. He's 14 years old. So get it out of your head if you think you know what this person will look like. Old, young, man, woman, polka-dotted black, brown, purple color, who cares? Naked or clothed? I don't know. But if you have it in your head what this person's going to look like, it will slow you down on your reaction time when the person who's attacking you doesn't look like that. This is all part of what training's about. This is all part of figuring out, are you going to be responsible for your own safety, or are you going to put your fingers in your ears and go, nah, 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 it doesn't exist. Simple as that. Our number here is 866-TALK-GUN. If you have decided to take care of yourself, how did you come to that position? Did you do that at an early age? Did something happen? How did you make the decision that you are your own first responder? 866-TALK-GUN. Be right back with more gun talk.
Since 1973, Levy's Outdoor has been crafting fine outdoor and hunting leather products and accessories at their factory in Nova Scotia, Canada. Levy's offers a full line of handcrafted slings and is an official licensee of Remington and Mossy Oak Gamekeepers. Levy's Outdoor also makes tactical products, shotgun bags, range bags, shell holders, and even waterfowl bags that float. For quality hunting and outdoor products, shop levysoutdoor.com.
It's November, time for a Thanks giveaway. This giveaway has a total of 10 winners. More prizes, more chances to win. One grand prize winner takes home the Daniel Defense DD-M4 V7 AR-15 rifle in 5.56 with M-Lock attachment. Another grand prize winner walks away with the Brownells BRN-180S Gen 2 10-inch complete upper receiver in 300 blackout, paired with the Ace ARRB lower receiver block, durable steel folding mechanism, and strong arm pistol brace with strong arm pistol tube from Double Star for easy, compact storage. 8 first prize winners will receive either a Hodgdon product voucher, good for an 8-pound keg of Hodgdon or IMR propellant, or a gift certificate from Timney Triggers for the trigger of their choice. Gun Talk's Thanks giveaway. Enter now through December 4th at guntalk.com/win. That's guntalk.com/win.
Ruger's 10/22 rifle line offers a variety of models and features for whatever you need your next 22 to do. From target, takedown, or tactical, to competition, carbine, or compact. The 10/22 action is a tried and true Ruger design, delivering consistent, reliable performance. With its classic styling and ease of use, the Ruger 10/22 is America's favorite rimfire rifle. Find the perfect 10/22 for you at Ruger.com.
Back with you, 866-TALK-GUN, or just call me at Tom Talk Gun. Tom being me. I'm Tom Gresham, by the way. It's called Gun Talk, and if there's something on your mind, we'll pretty much go there. It's open lines right now. We do like our range reports. If you've been to the range, either bought something, sold something, shot something, especially if you took somebody out and you guys went shooting together. I actually was out at the range yesterday with family doing sporting clays. Had son and granddaughters, 10 and 7, had a great time, beautiful day, driving around on the golf carts, you know, breaking a few clays, the 10-year-old shooting a cool little Mossberg, the one with the really, really short stock, because even most youth guns are not really short enough for someone small like that, and it's a little 410. And so, yes, the 410 is not great, but it was perfect for this because it fit. It's probably a 12-inch length of pull on that thing. We had a great time. It just spending time out there and teaching safe gun handling and responsibility. It was fun. Really enjoyed that. Let's go talk to Chuck out of Topeka, Kansas on 2. Hey, Chuck, you got a range report for us.
Yeah, Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you.
Yes, range report on training, but first I wanted to mention about 5-6 years ago, I came to the realization I needed to get serious about personal protection and the use of a firearm, and did some research and came across your program and become a faithful listener the last 5-6 years. I've learned so much listening to your program and everybody. I want to thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank you. And was there anything in particular that got you to thinking in terms of taking care of yourself?
Well, obviously, watching the news the last 5-10 years, has been a big wake-up call. We've seen such a change in our country and what's been going on, and it's been what's been happening here just recently is the trend's been going on for quite some time. And mm-hmm. I've got a number of friends also in law enforcement and DHS and other acronym agencies, and just talking to them, it became very clear that we all needed to get very serious about taking care of ourselves. The things you talk about, we can't expect other people to be taking care of us. We have to take that personal responsibility. And of course, if it's a firearm, that means, we have to be serious about training. So that was my range report I wanted to mention.
Okay.
I've gone to a couple half-day classes over the years, and they've been okay, but they just seem to be lacking. And I've been hearing your program, and you've been recommending interviewing a number of places. And last spring, you interviewed Chad with Boondocks down there in Mississippi.
Right, Jackson, Mississippi area.
I've got a couple buddies in Mississippi also, and I've been trying to get everybody together to do a kind of a group training. And so we decided we were going to go to Boondocks, and we did that about 2-3 weeks ago, four of us.
Okay.
And we did two days of defensive carbine one and 2 days of defensive pistol one. And I have to tell you, it was an amazing experience. Those folks down there were just top notch.
So, all right. So you take half day classes. Explain the difference when you go and go do 4 days of training and what that does for you.
Boy, a half day class or, 2 or 3 hours, it's just, I don't know, it didn't cover the full spectrum of what I was expecting. They would just drop you into maybe one little exercise and you try to do that little exercise. And, it was a good experience. I guess it helped me understand what little I knew and what more I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And that's why this, at 4 days of immersion was just amazing. We breathed it, slept it, for 4 days, and we had access to these instructors and had a lot of extra time to ask them questions and work through issues. Just the hands-onness, the patience they had there, it was far superior than the partial day trainings that I've had before.
It's a beautiful facility there, too. Also, for those who don't know, didn't catch it, it's Boondocks Academy. It's just right there in Jackson, Mississippi. So, and I got a great pro shop also, by the way, where you end up spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
But, that's okay. It's good stuff.
And they have a gym there that'll do work on your guns if you have little problems during your training, too. He was great.
Exactly. So, when you came out of the 4 days, what was your feeling like if you had to, and I know you've already done it, because you go tell people, let me tell you what just happened and what we just did. What's the cliff note? What do you tell them? What's your takeaway for the whole thing?
Well, obviously, you learn what you don't know, and there's so much more you need to learn, and you need to continue to learn. I mean, it became very clear that you have to continue practicing. You have to practice with a purpose. You just don't go to a range and shoot. You've got to practice and work on an exercise, whether it's holstering and getting target on fast, or whether it's moving and shooting, whatever area you need to work on. And now we all need to probably work on everything, but practicing regularly, at least once a month, if not twice a month, and practicing with a purpose and working on those specific things. And then realize that you got to keep going forward. I mean, the four of us are planning on probably going back next fall and doing the pistol and carbine two program mm-hmm. Training again. I mean, it just opened up our eyes. And I've been telling other folks, you've got to do something like this.
Well, the problem is now you understand why we all become evangelists after we've done this, which is you want to tell everybody, let me just tell you what I just experienced because I had no idea what I didn't know. And let me just tell you, friend, you don't know it either. And I want you to be able to take advantage of this. And so you start telling everybody you know about it.
Exactly. And I had a chance to meet the owner while we were down there, had a great conversation with him, found out about the history of why they built that facility, and I just told him, I said, I'm going to tell as many people as I can about you all, and I said, I'm going to even We even talked about you, Tom, and I said, well, I was going to be calling in and giving you all my range report, which is what I'm doing right now. But I want to thank you because it was your program that opened it up.
Well, I appreciate you giving us the range report and coming back around full circle. Mark and Kim are the owners. They're great people, wonderful people, and the story about how they basically did that and why and how it came about is amazing. It really is a top-notch facility, and it's right there in North Mississippi. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate that very much, Chuck. And, congratulations to you on making the commitment, the time and the money, and putting yourself on the line to saying, okay, I'm going to go do this. I don't know how good I am at this stuff, but I'm going to find out, and I'm going to learn stuff. And it's you have to be open to saying, okay, I may not be as good at this as I think I am. And so congratulations to you. Thank you so much for that report. And give us a holler back when you go back. Appreciate that. Let me run down. I do know we have time to get John in here on 4 out of us. South Dakota, I believe that is. Hey, John, you're up.
Yes, Tom. Thank you for taking the call.
You bet.
One of the things I wanted to comment on is that, I think people had better be, if they're going to buy a gun, of any sort, a weapon, a rifle, shotgun, handgun, whatever, they'd better do it before the end of the year. Because if these people that we got running around here are claiming to be Democrats, if they get into office, they're going to shut that off. Now, I don't know if they're going to shut off ammunition or some kind of restrictions on the weapon, but the whole thing is you'd better be getting your weapons and your ammunition before the end of the year.
Yeah, I hear you. And yes, they do have a wish list of gun laws they want to pass, of gun bans, of confiscation, of restrictions, of quotas, and everything else. I agree. And I think everybody needs to be buying guns before the end of 2019. Yes, you need to buy your guns before the end of 2019 before prices go up in 2020. Oh, wait. You may have missed them. Okay, well, then you got to do what you got to do. If you can find them, get them. Simple as that. And next time I tell you to be buying when it's cheap, you might want to pay attention. I was right then, and I'll be right again. Blind Hog sometimes finds an acorn now and then. 866-TALK-GUN. This is one that I'm really glad to see. By the way, welcome back. I'm Tom Gresham. It's Gun Talk, 866-TALK-GUN. We'll get you in, or Tom Talk Gun. From the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, I didn't even know there was such a thing, but it's a federal office, comes a proposal, and it's very interesting. They're proposing a rule to prevent banks from discriminating against legal businesses and individuals. And you go, well, what is that about, and what does it have to do with this? Well, if you've been around long enough, it doesn't really take that long. Back when President Obama was in the White House, his administration instituted Operation Choke Point. And I always love it. People say, well, Obama didn't pass any gun control laws. Well, that's just childish to think that. You don't have to pass laws to affect gun control. Operation Choke Point was really interesting. And that was the bank regulators would go to banks and say, we regulate you guys. And there are some businesses out there you probably don't really want to be doing business with. Things like pornography and, payday lending and, gun stores. Those kinds of businesses. And if your bank were to be doing business with, say, gun stores, it might mean we have to come in and do like a 6-month audit on your bank. And so as a result, banks left and right all over the country were contacting gun stores and gun manufacturers and saying, your account will be officially closed at the end of this month. You need to move your money. If a business, a gun store, a gun maker, a holster maker, a stock maker, it happened to the McMillans, can't get financial services, can't get a loan, or imagine this, can't have somebody process credit card charges, They can't really be in business. And that was what the Obama administration was about, was trying to shut down the firearms industry by choking off, and there was an official name for it, the program was called Operation Choke Point, to choke off financial services to the firearms industry. It actually continued. Trump did away with that, by the way. Just one of the many things that Trump did for gun owners. But it's kind of continued on the part of some banks, big institutions, where they just said, you know, we just think we're not going to do business with those industries. And so now we have the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency proposing a rule that says, no, you can't actually do that. Because if a company or an industry is legitimate and lawful, you can't discriminate against them. And I see that U.S. Senator Mike Crapo, he's a Republican from Idaho, he is the chairman of the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking. He has praised the Office of the Comptroller for proposing this rule. He says, we are seeing a disturbing trend in the financial services industry, the intentional discrimination of entire industries such as firearms manufacturers by the largest banks in the United States. This is a good move. I suggest this won't be happening under a Biden administration. Gird your loins, get ready for the fight. It's going to be real. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. Let's go talk to Phil. He's on line one, driving through North Dakota, it sounds like. Hey, Phil, you're up. What's going on?
Yeah, it's Bill, not Phil, but that's good.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to be a new gun owner when I get home in about 3 weeks down in Florida.
Okay.
And I wanted to pick your brain. I'm not a big gun advocate. I never have been a big gun advocate. I've always been a knife guy. It's just my upbringing with my grandfather. He always said, any coward can use a gun. It takes a real man to use a knife. So it kind of instilled in me. But dealing with the world we're living in today, a gun is a necessity. And with the Democrats getting in and possibly screwing up all the laws, I'm looking at the fact I have no choice. I really want to get a handgun, I want to get a shotgun, and I want to get a rifle because with our new property, we're moving way out into the woods. So I wanted to pick your brain on what would your suggestions be for a particular new gun owner. I've
sure.
already taken 3 online classes for safety.
Okay. Good. All right. Congratulations on taking the online classes. I would suggest that you need to continue that with in-person classes on handling firearms because there's a lot to it. This is can be a fairly complicated thing. All right. 3 guns. Handgun, shotgun, rifle. When you say you're moving out, you're moving out into the country. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll be moving out. We just bought some property down in southwest New Mexico, so it's way out into the – it's out in the outback of
right.
New Mexico, so I'm going to be out in the middle
gotcha.
Of nowhere.
Okay. All right. Here's my suggestion, and it's going to be kind of broad, and it's going to be categories, because when I say get a 9mm semi-automatic pistol, there are – many, many dozens of them out there, and you're going to have to find the one that works for you, that fits your hand. And frankly, right now, guns are in short supply. The demand is exceedingly high. And so it may be a case if you're going to get what you can get. But I would say probably a full-size 9mm pistol, you know, Smith & Wesson, Glock, Ruger, Springfield Armory, any of the major brands, SIG, of course, all of those are good. Buy quality, buy quality, buy quality. I mean, you know, every time we try to go cheap, we end up regretting it. Every time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so get you a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. On a shotgun, I would say get you a 12-gauge pump. Simple, not very expensive. There are several good brands out there, a 12-gauge pump shotgun. When you get to the rifle, it becomes very interesting. I'm going to suggest you get the most versatile style rifle ever made, and that is an AR-15 rifle. They are versatile. You can actually replace the uppers. They come like there's a lower and an upper. Think of it as 2 parts. And the upper, you can change those out and put different calibers on it. You can shoot different calibers through the same gun by replacing the upper on it. They are ergonomically designed, fairly lightweight, and then the original .223 caliber, not much recoil and ammo is still somewhat available. So I would say an AR-15, a pump shotgun, and a 9mm semi-automatic pistol would be the collection that I would suggest you take a look at.
Okay. Sounds like a good idea. Yeah, because like I said, my fiance actually is a gun owner. She has a little .38 revolver. Okay. Now, on your personal side, do you prefer a revolver over a semi-automatic or a semi-automatic over a revolver? Because I was always taught by my grandfather, if you're going to buy a gun, buy a revolver, because they can't jam, but they can backfire.
Well, remember that your grandfather's also the guy who said don't get a, was it your grandfather who said don't get a gun, use a knife?
Don't get a gun, but yet he owned them, man, but he...
You're now talking to the right guy. Yes, I would prefer, generally speaking, I prefer a semi-auto. It has more ammunition on it. They generally are actually, they shoot a little bit better. I love revolvers, don't get me wrong, but revolvers are a little bit more restrictive. Once you get into the guns, if you really like guns, you can start getting yourself some revolvers. But for a starter, I would get a 9mm semi-automatic pistol, a full-size gun, not a semi, not a little bitty compact one. I'd get a pump-action shotgun, and I'd get the AR-15. That would be my choice. And Phil, I thank you for the call. Let me throw it out there. What would be your choice if you said, okay, three guns, shotgun, rifle, pistol, or handgun, and you're having to advise Phil, what would be your choices? 866-TALK-GUN.
Introducing the all-new St. Victor from Springfield Armory. Our versatile line of battle-ready configurations designed for serious shooters and built on the rock-solid Saint platform for unwavering reliability. Available in carbine-length rifle, SBR, and pistol configurations, each Saint Victor is purpose-built and loaded with features to deliver ultimate performance under extreme conditions. The all-new Saint Victor from Springfield Armory. Never a victim, always the victor.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants distributed under the Hodgson, IMR, Winchester, Pyrodex, 777, and GOX brands. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
In 2020, Brownells continues its tribute to Eugene Stoner, the legendary designer of the AR-15, AR-180, and more. The What Would Stoner Do 2020 rifle answers the question of what Stoner would have done with modern lightweight materials. Inspired by another Stoner design, Brownells BRN-180 lower receivers help complete firearms optimized for folding stocks or pistol braces. Visit Brownells.com today and pay tribute to one of America's greatest firearm engineers.
All right, back with you, going to the phones. Colby is in Anchorage, Alaska. Hey, Colby, you got a range report. What's going on with your gun?
Well, I was at the range the other day, and I'm shooting 5.56 green tips ammo. This is the first time I've ever shot it.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled the trigger. It would go bang maybe two times and then click. So then I'd, you know, rack it back and eject that one. Go again. It'll go bang two, three times, then click. I'm like, what the heck's going on? So I was with my buddy. I'm like, hey, try this ammo. Maybe it's bad ammo. He tried it. Went perfectly fine through his gun. I'm like, what the heck is going on? Why am I having light primer strikes? So after a ton of research and talking to my buddy Austin and Googling everything, I finally looked at the picture of the trigger that I bought and dropped it in, and the spring was in backwards. So when I would rack it back and the hammer was going back, it was moving the spring in a way that was releasing tension. So it didn't have enough tension going forward to effectively select the primer target.
Was it the firing pin spring or was it an actual spring in the trigger?
It's the spring that controls the hammer of when it goes forward.
Okay. And this was in a trigger that you bought. Was it an aftermarket trigger that you put in? Was this an AR that you built yourself?
No. I just got an aftermarket trigger. I got an ALG defense trigger.
Okay. Interesting. Did you contact the manufacturer?
I didn't. I didn't get to that point because after I looked at the picture of the trigger on the box and I looked at the orientation of the trigger that was in the gun, I saw it immediately. I'm like, oh, this is in backwards. The springs go this way. And I flipped it around and I immediately could tell there's a lot more tension when I would put the hammer back. So I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm actually heading out to the range now.
Oh, okay.
To do a testing and see how it actually goes.
Okay, well, good. I mean, you know, I'm glad you figured it out. I just was doing a little bit of looking online, and I think you're probably right what's going on there. And, you know, you might want to, if that turns out to be what it is, I would certainly let the trigger manufacturer know, hey, this is what happened. I got it fixed. I'm not looking for anything here, but just wanted you to know so they could, you know, do some quality control. You're headed to the range right now?
I am going over to Sutton. You've been here in Alaska, right? Do you know some Sutton area?
Where is Sutton?
Sutton, it's about an hour northeast of Anchorage, a little bit past Palmer.
Okay, past Palmer, yeah. Okay, I know where you're going there. So you're not going to the Birchwood Range, you're going to another range there. I'm going to ask you to do me a favor.
Sure.
After you shoot, figure it all out, call us back. We'll probably plug you into the after show, and we'll get the follow-up on that, okay?
You got it, Tom. I can do that.
That'd be perfect. I appreciate it, Kobe. Thank you so much for the call, and I wish you luck with it. I hope that works out for you here. Let's talk to Mark on 2 out of Fort Smith, Arkansas. Hey, Mark, what you got going here?
Well, I got a really strange question for you.
Okay.
I've hunted a lot of deer. The last weekend, we shot a doe. We went and tracked another deer. And we came back knowing that doe had dropped where it stood. So about an hour later, we got to her, and the front shoulder was missing, and the hide around the shoulder area all the way back to the ribs was very cleanly removed.
Okay.
And it just caught me off guard. I didn't know if there was some sort of scavenger or predator that could do that.
There is, actually. It's the dreaded two-legged predator with a skinning knife.
Wow. Well, that was one of my thoughts. But the front leg was laying there next to it, and it had pieces of meat removed, not by a knife.
Well, I mean, if you're telling me that the skin was peeled back cleanly, I don't know if a predator that would or could do that. If it looked like it was peeled back with a knife and skinned and somebody removed a shoulder and took a piece of meat, I would be thinking of a person doing that. If you have an area that was chewed on, that's a whole different deal. And you could have, in Arkansas, you could have dogs, you could have coyotes, and you could actually have mountain lions there too.
Okay. Well, I know. Like coyotes, would go for the soft underbelly and the, you know.
Right. I think it was a person. Was it public land?
Well, no, it was private, but plenty of trespassing has been noted.
That's,
so,
but that my vote is that it was a trespasser. It was somebody who just basically said, "Hey, we'll just go cut this quarter off, this front quarter off." And make off with. They probably watched somebody shoot it, and then said, "Oh, they're not coming over now. We'll slip over there. You keep an eye out for them, and I'll go I'll go get us some meat there." It's despicable, but hey, what was I just talking about? There are some bad people out there, and yes, you could even find them out in the woods when you're hunting. Yes, I do carry a pistol when I'm hunting. Why? Because why wouldn't you? We'll be right back. You know, of course, last week I was talking a good bit about the two Senate runoff races in Georgia. And right now, where we are with this election is we have 48 Democrats elected to the Senate, 50 Republicans elected to the Senate, and there are two runoff races in Georgia. If the Democrats win both of those, it's 50-50. And with Biden in the White House, and yeah, I know people say don't give up yet. I think it's incredibly likely he's going to be in the White House. If he's in the White House, then Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker in the Senate. The vice president is the tiebreaker in the Senate if it's 50-50. So it will be a Democrat-controlled Senate, which means Chuck Schumer will be making all of the appointments, the committee chairs, will be deciding which bills come up for a vote, will be controlling. So all the gun control measures that they have been wanting, begging for, trying to get, they'll have a democratically controlled House, a democratically controlled Senate, and Democrats in the White House. Nothing to stop them, really. So we're down to this. And I was making the point that, look, this is very much to me like 1994 when Bill Clinton passed the Clinton gun ban, also known as the so-called assault weapon ban. And so many gun owners sat on the sidelines or didn't believe it or didn't understand it or weren't paying attention or simply weren't involved and weren't informed. And they passed it. Fortunately, we were able to sneak in a sunset provision and it went away in 10 years. That won't happen this time. They won't make that mistake again with their gun bans. And so really, it's pretty easy to focus on this. We have two races we have to win. Simply put, the Republicans have to win these, and then Mitch McConnell will be able to block those actions, and then we have a good chance of stopping these gun control, gun confiscation measures. And I said, yeah, it doesn't really matter if you live in Georgia. This is our fight, no matter where you are. If you're a gun owner, this is your fight. And obviously, if you're in Georgia, you got to get involved, and you got to get, you got to volunteer, you have to have the get out the vote deal and all. And I was encouraging people to make a donation. I don't care. Box of ammo, the price of a box of ammo. Best response I got to that was a guy said, you know, Tom, I couldn't afford to put in the price of a box of ammo, so I put in $100. Kind of reflecting the price of ammo these days, which I thought was pretty funny. I just got this one from Ron. He says, I heard you loud and clear. He said, I was already donating to Trump in small amounts weekly, so I stopped for this week and then donated $75 towards Georgia, and we'll do it again next week. Money is tight, he says. I'm on a fixed income. I will give what I can and as often as I can. Sincerely, Ron, out of Arizona. Ron in Arizona. I can't thank you enough. I cannot also tell you how many people I got notes from that said, I heard you, I got it, I understand, you motivated me, you got me off the couch. I went to winred.com, that's W-I-N-R-E-D, winred.com. I made a donation, or in some cases they said, I signed up to make a weekly donation. And sometimes it's $25, that's fine, it's $100, or it's whatever you can put in. The billionaires who are supporting the leftist are pouring money and people into Georgia. They understand what this means. If you ever thought, I want to be a warrior in the Second Amendment battle, in the battle for gun rights, this is a chance. And you don't have to strap on gear. You just have to make a donation. Winred, W-I-N-R-E-D, winred.com. They'll show you how. Hey, when we come back, we'll be taking your calls, of course, and we'll also be talking about where can you find guns these days. We've got a place for you. Our number, 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham, and this is Gun Talk.